Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. My name is Deacon Rich Napoli, joined here by my beautiful wife, Janet.
Hi, everyone.
And we're on the air live today, so if you have questions throughout this show, please call in.
You want to give the phone number?
It's a beautiful summer day here. It's 215-345-1570, if you have any questions for us. And we'll get to the meat of the show in a minute, but it's been a little while, Janet, since we've been on the air.
We've
been traveling. We had our 35th wedding anniversary.
35 years.
So we got to go to beautiful Florida and at the Ritz-Carlton.
Got to see some of our kids along the way. It was exciting.
Our son and his daughter, son and daughter-in-law, bought their first home, so we got to see that. And
it was a very busy time. We also had our daughter, Vanessa, who lives in Boston. She finished her classes for her master's program 2 years ago, but she just finished her thesis. So she did walk for Boston College.
So she got to walk.
So we went up for that very exciting time as well.
Yep.
So May has been a very busy month.
Very busy month for us. It's all good things, though. And June, we're getting ready for our vacation.
Family vacation. And then after that, we get to host our two grandsons, 1 and 3 years old, Joey and Tony.
For a week.
I already bought gates and I have childproof things and I'm really excited to get my hands on them for a whole week.
I know, really looking forward. They're delightful young men, young boys, and we're looking forward. Although they can, like any young kids, they can be a handful.
It is, but you know, when you hear them say, especially the 3-year-old, grace before meals and his prayers at night, it just really warms my heart.
Yeah.
As a grandma, he calls me Oma.
Oma.
And I just think all the work we did in raising our kids, you know, and I think this is the fruit. The grandchildren is the fruit, the icing on the cake.
They really are a joy.
And if I could get fat from it, I'd be 300 pounds. That's how much I'm enjoying it and lapping it up.
And then also I'm busy, besides work, just getting ready. I am the chairman of the Newtown Classic Car Show every year, and that's coming up July 10th. So please come at 10 to 3 on a Sunday and down the streets of Newtown. But it's a lot of fun. But it keeps me busy for sure.
So as you can hear, we've had a lot of great joy since we've been on last. But there's also been a sadness. And I know many of you have already heard that a very dear friend of Holy Spirit Radio, Kathy Gasson, passed away on May 4th.
And this is really the first time that Jan and I have had a chance to talk about that because we were away
for our anniversary
during her funeral.
And I do want to mention that the Kingsmen program, Mark Houck did a beautiful tribute to Kathy Gasson where, you know, Dale and Jane Meyer and Carolyn and Frank Eliason, Joe Montone, Bill Miller, other people, Dave Parker, really shared their story of how Kathy Gasson impacted their life and how much her presence has meant to them. And
yes.
So I would really encourage all of you, if you know Kathy on any level, to go to holyspiritradio.org and look up the local programs. And it's the last program that Mark did. And listen to it at your convenience. It really is a beautiful tribute to a very special woman. You know, Kathy had so many talents. Probably the biggest one was that so joyful. Nothing ever seemed to really get her in a bad mood. Whatever catastrophe was arising, she just had a very pleasant way of like, well, we're going to get through it and God's going to help us. And he always has. And I have to say that just even coming into the station, she always had it beautifully decorated according to the season, the church calendar. She was always a big welcome, helped us with our production for Monsignor and I with the Word of God on Sunday readings. And also she had her own program. Her own program that was called Songs for the Spirit, in which she really played very beautiful Christian music that was very inspiring. And you know, she's been involved with Holy Spirit Radio from day one, March 19th, 1999, as an advisory board member.
That's right.
And then later on, she became the communications manager. But I have to say, personally, when I heard that she passed away, it was shocking because it was unexpected and it was sudden. But the parable of the 10 virgins came to mind immediately to me. Mm. And Rich, I just want to take a moment and ask you to read that.
Sure. It's a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, Kathy lived a full life. Kathy was not foolish. She kept a good supply of oil, you know, if I can say it that way. And she did that through all her good works and her prayerful attitude about everything. She was full of love for God and for neighbor. So for us, you know, we're all going to greatly miss her here. But we can take great joy in knowing that she is with the Lord. And she was ready when he called her home. She was ready. So that's the goal for all of us.
Had her bags packed, as Father Gaben would tell us.
You know, and Kathy's good work is not done, because we now have a great intercessor for all of us. So let's keep her busy with our prayers. And, you know, I just want to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. 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 Yeah. And that leads us to sort of the focus for this program, because unfortunately with Kathy's passing,
a great void. We found
a great void was created. Yeah. She did so much for us here. I mean, I was always impressed with how quickly she was able to pick up, you know, all the little bits and pieces of the technology here to run the show and joyfully and come up and be creative. So that void is hard to fill, but we are very fortunate to have filled it with a wonderful man that you're going to meet this show. His name is Chuck Harvey. Some of them, you may know him already. He's been on the King's Men show in the past. But we're going to spend an hour getting to know him, because he is now the station manager for Holy Spirit Radio, and been a wonderful addition to the team. He's been here only about a month or so. Well, I'll give you a little bio on you, and then we'll get you talking there, Chuck. Chuck is, as I said, station manager. Prior to that, and he's also currently the RCIA director at the Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Philly. He's an adjunct faculty teacher at St. Charles Borromeo, one of my favorite places.
Amen.
And before that, was a director of operations for the Kingsmen for 2 years. And before that, had a bunch of, I guess you'd call them secular jobs in the IT space. And we were comparing war stories there from our days doing IT. And he has his master's in theology from St. Charles, his MBA from Drexel, and his and 2 bachelor degrees in management and psychology from Penn State. So now, welcome.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you, Janet. Thank you for having me.
So good to have you.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. I mean, knowing your background, both your spiritual and secular background, when I read your bio and stuff, I was like, wow, this is going to be the perfect match for what we do here. Because, you know, this is a beautiful ministry that we use to spread the word of God in our community, but it does require some technology to make it all happen, right? And that technology, as you know, changes quite rapidly and changes all the time. So it's a delight to have you here.
Well, I did have the privilege of having a great teacher in Kathy. I just want to take some opportunity to publicly acknowledge Kathy. She had a great influence on me. We used to call her our radio mom, because every time I'd come here to do the show, she'd have our coffee and our little our donuts ready, the water, the prayers were all set to go. So I got introduced to radio and how it works behind the scenes by Kathy, and she's certainly going to be missed here physically in the station, but I know she's here spiritually interceding for us. So,
amen. Yeah, we have a great great benefactress now looking down on over us. So as I said, you know, this show is a chance to get to know you a little bit. Just a reminder to our listeners, this is Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown, and 1420 AM in Coatesville. The station is Holy Spirit Radio, and this particular show is Deacon Dialogues, here with my wife Janet, and I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and we're here with Chuck Harvey to learn more about you, Chuck. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are listening, if you have any questions, please dial in at 215-345-1570. So this is like a, this is your life, Chuck, you know.
All right. Kind of am I going to get roasted? Or?
Yeah. That'll be next month.
Yeah. Behind this door, we have the first person that you ever, no. So, you know, give us a little background. So,
sure.
You know, where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? That kind of
thing. Well, I basically, I grew up from Philadelphia. I grew up in the Philly area. I've spent most of my life in Roxborough, which is where I live now with my wife, Karen. But I really grew up, in terms of my formative years, in Ambler. So went to St. Anthony of Padua in Ambler from 3rd through 8th grade. Then went to Wissahickon High School in Lower Gwinnett. So I grew up in the area. And as you mentioned, then I went away for a couple of years, went to school at Penn State. Met my wife, Karen, there. Yeah. Came back. Got married. Got married, by the way, at the Fiesta Bowl in 1987 with Vinny Testaverde. If anybody's a sports fan,
Vinny Testaverde, lifelong Jets fan. Vinny was our quarterback for many years.
So got married and settled down in the Philadelphia area in Roxborough. Raised two kids together, and so been at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish for really, I guess, almost 26 years now. So together.
Right, and that's in Roxborough?
That's in Roxborough, yes.
You've been stayed in that area you're pretty much your whole life?
Yes. When I net it all out, I've spent most of my life in Roxborough. I came and went, and I went back again, so here
Beautiful.
I am.
What area is your wife from?
She is actually from God's country, as she'll say. She's from Clearfield, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Clearfield is about an hour northwest of Penn State. In Clearfield County.
Wow, that is God's
right.
country.
St. Francis of Assisi, which is where we got married. But that's actually in the Erie Diocese. But yeah, in the northwest sort of section. It's about 4 hours from here. So
a little bit of a trip.
Yes. I took my in-laws' little girl.
Yeah.
And
well, at least
God's
it's still
country.
A car ride away.
That's right.
At least there's that.
Yeah, not in a plane, not in a boat or something.
That's right.
And you met in at Penn State.
Yes, we met at Penn State. In fact, Karen has quite a special sort of role in my journey back to the church.
Yeah, I'm excited for everybody to hear
about that. Probably not too atypical. Once I got to eighth grade and was ready to move on to high school, where the
big leagues.
The big leagues. I was pretty much decided I wanted to go to public high school and no more nuns and priests. So really, unfortunately, for many years of my life, especially in high school and college, I was kind of far from the church, didn't go to Mass very often. And then that changed a bit when I went up to, for my junior year, I went up to main campus and I met a girl. And for some strange reason, every Saturday night before, we'd go out and stuff, she would go to Mass at, back then at the...
How crazy is that?
It is crazy, yeah. I know. So... for all those wonderful altruistic reasons, I decided I should start to go to Mass, too, since...
Get to see her a little more, then.
Get to see her a little more. So that's really how I actually started going back to Mass at Penn State when I met
who
this girl.
Who would have thunk? Yeah.
Who now is my wife. And that kind of started me on a journey, a trajectory to really come back fully into the church.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That sound
familiar, Jen? Well, there's a great story here, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear it.
Okay.
So tell me, from Penn State, tell me a little bit about your secular jobs. You had a whole career there before you...
Coming out of Penn State, you said I was a management major and a psych major. I started off actually in human resources for a... it's kind of ironic given what I'm doing today, working for the Radio Corporation of America, RCA, up in Princeton. So,
The Research Center?
Up the street from the Research Center.
Sure.
Mostly there and also up at 30 Rock, which used to be back then the RCA building. So I got involved. In fact, even today here in my office at Holy Spirit Radio, I have a little RCA Victor radio that I had in my office at RCA. Aww. So, because I always kind of had a hobby about radio. But anyway, I started working for RCA. And then I came back to Philly, worked for Blue Cross for a couple years, then worked in the chemical industry for a number of years, and then ended up, my last secular job was in Horsham, working for a financial services and debt collection company.
Okay.
So most of my career was in HR and then IT. That's where I kind of got involved in technology for the first time.
Yeah.
And I always was I always dabbled in technology. I was a kid. I always used to play with radios and TVs and take things apart.
Yeah, you said as a boy you had a
CB radio. I was a FCC licensed CB radio operator.
Card carrying.
CB radio operator. And so, so I do have a lot of sort of background, or at least interest I've always
interest.
Had in technology
had in radio technology.
And radio technology.
God
yeah.
was preparing you even though.
He was. I didn't know that until about a month ago, but yeah, yes, he was.
You have to have patience.
That's right.
He's always got better plans than we do.
Right.
And you just have to let them unfold.
Right.
Okay.
So somewhere along the way in my sort of secular career, which was a successful career,
yeah,
I always had great projects to work on and got promotions and had great teams working for me. Somewhere along the line, God really reached out and decided he wanted me to be a lot more committed to him and his church. So really back in around 2007, and I never, I never left the church, but, I really was kind of mailing it in some ways, once Karen and I had kids, I did want to send them to Catholic school.
Okay. Were you going to church on Sunday then when you had kids?
Well, she would, Karen would always go.
Always went. Okay.
Always went.
Sure.
And most times I'd go if she woke me up and.
Right. If you got nudged just the right,
right
way, you went. Okay.
Right. But actually what happened, which really made me go to Mass every Sunday before I really understood what the Mass was all about. Was I'm going to keep going referencing back to old TV shows that no one ever remembers.
Go right ahead.
There was a show on TV back in the 90s, I guess, called Picket Fences.
Oh, yes.
And on this show, the main characters were the sheriff and his wife, who was a doctor. Mm-hmm. And they were like children of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there was this two-part episode where they realized because they were children of the 60s, they were going to let their children choose what their religion was,
yeah, that
what
always
their faith
works out
was.
Well, yeah.
Well, to the credit of the show, what they realized, it was probably a Christmas episode, is they realize we had chosen because their kids were completely godless. Like, none had no sense
no
or understanding
right?
of God.
Right.
No,
well,
beyond
not
their
important
imagination.
To you, how's it going to be important
exactly.
to
yeah. So they realize that, hey, well, actually by choosing to not take them at all, we've actually chosen for them. So the way that episode ended was they took them to church for Christmas.
Really?
And that really made an impression upon me that... Yeah. I knew enough, even though I was kind of agnostic, or that I knew enough that, hey, the world's going to do its job to convince my kids there isn't a God.
Mm.
So if God's going to have a fighting chance, I need to
be
a good witness and go to Mass and at least be consistent. If I'm going to send them to Catholic school, I should be there.
And you need to support the Catholic school in that
absolutely,
way. By
absolutely,
going on
right,
Sunday, yes.
right.
You have an obligation. As a father baptizing their children to do this.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. So from that point on, we were all consistent Mass attenders as a family.
Good.
But I still, wasn't really
and what
committed.
Year was that around?
That was probably in the mid-90s. Like
in the 90s,
95, 96.
Because I know in 2001, your story starts to change a bit.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, what happened, as everybody probably remembers 9/11, who can forget it, who was around,
yeah,
that really got me... sort of taking a more serious and deeper dive into, well, what is life about? What's all this stuff going on in the world, and why are people flying planes in the buildings, and why do they hate us, and what do they believe, and what do we believe? So I really started a journey of sort of exploring kind of intellectually, like, okay, well, what what's it mean to be Muslim, and what's it mean to be a Christian, and what's it mean to be Jewish, and why does it matter, and why would it make somebody not like us, that kind of stuff. So I started a journey of just kind of reading a lot of stuff and trying to understand religion. And then over the course of time, I got involved in Boy Scouts because my son was a Boy Scout, and I became a leader. And so when we go on camping trips, a lot of times when you're out under the stars around the the campfire, we get into all these deep discussions about God and the universe and stuff. And we had this one particular family in the troop who were evangelicals, very good, faithful people, very open about their faith, which I think sometimes Catholics aren't as comfortable being open.
We're kind of private with it.
Yeah.
And partly because what you said earlier when we were talking, and sometimes you're private about it because you don't really... We have a childlike understanding of... We learn it as children.
Right.
But we never really perfect it as adults. And so when we're challenged, we can't really explain it well, so we just, rather than... speak out, we just gotta be quiet.
Right.
So I know that's the way I was.
Right. So when we go on these camping trips, and this is our parish Boy Scout troop, so the most of the boys in the troop were from our parish.
Sure.
They went to our parish school. And so some of the things that my friend would say just didn't seem to... I was like, I don't think that's what they're learning at Catholic school during the day.
Okay.
And you can imagine just being sort of evangelical, had a very different take on it. It had very, very, sometimes I thought, kind of hostile views toward people who weren't Christian. So anyway, I said I need to be better prepared for these campfires because, you know, I know it doesn't sound right, but I don't know what the right answer is. So yeah. As a result of that, I did start to kind of look more into, well, what do Catholics believe about things versus what do Protestants believe about things? And again, this guy was very helpful in my journey. He gave me my first study Bible. It was a big Nelson Protestant study Bible, but I still have it today, right, where I can really start to dig into Scripture and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that kind of led me into a deeper dive into, well, you know, what is this whole God thing all about, and and should it matter in my life? Mm-hmm. And so, so as a result of that, over the course of time, I eventually kind of, I tell people I got into sort of this Protestant intellectual period in my thinking, where I really got myself convinced that God is real, right? And the reason, it was simple to me in some ways, it made perfect sense that I kind of made this flip that it was more logical that God exists than he didn't exist, because I knew there was right and wrong. It's as simple as that. I know there's a right and wrong. I know there's truth. Mm-hmm. And no one's ever going to move me off of that point. Mm. And I also, so I knew if that's true, then there has to be a source of it that's not me or not anybody. And it can't even be some super alien on another planet, right? It's got to be something completely outside the universe. Yeah. So that really got me thinking. That was a sort of a mind-blowing thing to me, the idea that, well, there has to be some kind of intelligent thing that transcends all of us.
Mm. And accepting that really moves you to think, well, to really even go deeper, I'm sure.
Right. Well, that led me to, okay, well, that's, you know, now that I know that, that's great. Mm. But now, okay, there's these different theories about what God is. You know, Hindus think God's this and Muslims think that.
Right.
So I started to kind of dig into that, and I got to the point where it really made sense for me. There's one God, not many gods. And as I really looked at sort of, you know, the different monotheistic religions, really, you know, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, I really became convinced that Christianity really made the most sense. That the explanation that Christianity gave us for who God is, which is basically love, just makes the most sense given our human experience. That it's love that drives us. It's love that we're all seeking. It's love that makes us flourish. And so, the idea that fundamentally God doesn't just love, it's not like something he does,
right.
Mm. It's what he is,
what he is.
Was very powerful, just given my human experience, which is our common human experience. Yeah. So that really led me to Christianity.
Yeah. Okay. I want to just remind everyone that you're listening to WISP, Holy 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville. This is Holy Spirit Radio, and the show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, joined with my wife, Janet. And we're here speaking with Chuck Harvey, the new station manager at Holy Spirit Radio. Just trying to get a little background, a little insight. This is we were joking before, the man behind the curtain now, you know, that makes everything work. And so we just thought that our listeners would appreciate getting to know you a little bit.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're going to be here a very long time, so we wanted to introduce them to you.
Yep.
But I want to go back, you know, because you made a good point earlier when we were talking, is, you know, so your first sort of conversion or reversion was an intellectual one.
Right.
To say, I can, you know, prove to myself in my mind that it's more logical that God exists than not. And, you know, it's a very, theological, intellectual based analysis that got you there. And Protestantism was certainly a vehicle for that, for you, as a way to make you aware of that intellectual truth.
Right.
But you didn't stop there.
No.
And there was sort of the next conversion was more like a conversion of your heart.
Yeah. Right.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, as you said, Rich. Yeah, I tend to get caught in my head and think things intellectually.
You're a man.
That's right. So for the longest time, I would think of things very intellectually, and I went through sort of this period where I thought intellectually Protestantism made sense. Then I read something Catholic, and I said, oh, no, Catholicism makes sense. But even then, it was still in my head, not my heart.
Right.
So, you know, God always knows what to do. So God, I had an opening on my staff at my last company, and so he sent me a Baptist minister to come and fill that role, of
all
course.
Right.
So I hired this guy, wonderful guy, who's a Baptist minister, and we'd have great conversations at work. And first of all, it was, for all of you Catholics out there, Protestants are blown away when they meet a Catholic who actually has a passion for their faith and it can actually, you know, go at least toe-to-toe a little bit in terms of scripture and stuff.
Sure.
But we had great, very friendly conversations. But the one thing he would always do, which always made me very uncomfortable, was he would challenge me, yeah, but what do you believe in your heart, Chuck?
What do you believe?
Yeah, what do you believe, right? You know, I hear all these great words and you can quote the catechism and that's all awesome, but what do you believe? What does Jesus mean to you?
Because that calls you to change.
Exactly, which is when I'd say it's time, lunch is over, let's go back to work.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go there. So what basically happened to me is it just so happens, again, by coincidence, not God's grace, I live next to a church. I live next to a Methodist church at my house in Roxboro. And, of course, the pastor there, I love John Wesley. If he was Catholic, he'd probably be the head of an order or something. But anyway, this Methodist church next to my house. So I knew the pastor because he's my next-door neighbor.
Sure.
And we had lived there for 20-plus years. I'd never gone over to their services on Sunday. I'd been in the building for scout events but never had gone to their services. And one morning, on a Sunday morning, listening to radio. See, radio comes in, too.
All
of course.
Right.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, I just had this overwhelming feeling come over me. The clouds didn't part, lightning bolts didn't strike, but I knew I had to go over to the 10:30 service at this Methodist church.
You know, that's the Holy Spirit really putting that on your heart and almost physically pushing you in a
literally,
way.
Literally.
You couldn't say no.
It felt that way.
Yeah, I believe it.
It felt that way.
That's the way I was with confession. So when I hear that out of you, I know exactly the feeling.
You know, my poor wife had gone to bed the night before, and she was still asleep. And then by the time she woke up, there was a different guy living in the house because I went over to the service. I kind of snuck in the back, you know. And Pastor Andy was giving this great sermon about Peter walking on water and how, you know, everyone focuses on Peter and often criticizes Peter because, you know, he lost faith. He took his eye off the ball. He started to sink.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't recognize the fact that, well, at least he had the courage. He at least stepped out of the boat and started walking toward Christ. The other 11 apostles were still in the boat. And so his whole message was, you know, somebody here needs to step out of the boat. You want to step out of the boat. You're afraid to step out of the boat. You have to step out of the boat. And that struck me right through the heart.
Like, hey, great bumper sticker.
Step out of the boat. Right. So after the sermon, you know, he came back and he saw me there. And he goes, oh, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to get out of the boat. So that was in like 2007. So that was almost 10 years ago. And that is what really started me on a rocket ship ride. Fully into the church, head and heart, and really began my journey.
Once your heart says yes, it is like a roller coaster,
isn't it? It is.
Full force, and boy, you get some lows there, but those highs are woohoo!
Yes. So
tell us now. So you've had that moment, and now you're starting to investigate the church more fully.
Yes.
So where does that take you?
Well, where it took me immediately was I had been going to a Bible study at my parish at IHM, and I told people this story about what happened on Sunday. It was amazing. And they're like, oh, you need to go into CMI. And I'm like, well, what's CMI? And it's like, what's the Church Ministry Institute? It's this great program. It's 3 years long. You'll learn all about the faith. I'm like, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, maybe in a year or two I'll do that, you know. Well, when does it start? Next week. So
God didn't want to give you any time to change your mind.
No. So before long, I had registered in that. I began that, and again, by God's providence, I was blessed that actually my particular section, because where I live is closest to, was at St. Charles at the seminary. And so, as you know, it's a great environment to learn the faith. I mean, the place just smells like incense. You know, Jesus,
I always called it a Catholic oasis. It felt like, you know.
A little bit of heaven there, yeah.
Desert,
right.
When they finally come onto the grounds.
You can really drink it in.
St. Charles, it just felt like, okay, I can drink now. Yeah, I can breathe and live.
Right.
Beautiful.
So going to those classes at St. Charles really got me fired up about the faith. And I found myself, though, wanting to go deeper and ask more questions. And then I learned when I was there that they actually have a graduate school there and they have a master's program. So back in 2010, I enrolled in the master's program at St. Charles and was in that for 4 years. And then in 2014, I graduated from St. Charles with my master's degree in theology.
So you got the answers you were looking for.
I did. But, you know, as you know, the Catholic Church is wide and deep. We can spend the rest of our life trying to understand it all, and you're not going to.
I kind of feel like that's what heaven's going to be like. We're just going to get to learn more and more, but it's never going to end.
That's right.
We'll just
grow
more in love with God and grow deeper.
Yeah, I found the seminary just as a great place because, you know, we'll go into my story, but, you know, as an atheist for most of my life and then finally having a conversion moment, the help of my wife there, I had a ton of questions. And I was just amazed at how beautiful the answers were. And I'm so fortunate that I got to go to St. Charles because there's wonderful instructors there that could explain till I stopped asking questions. You know,
right.
You know, like the kids that keep, you know, sometimes they challenge you when you go, why, Daddy, why? Right. Well, because of this, why? And after about four whys, you're out.
Right?
There was never a point when I would ask a question.
And they got stumped. They never got stumped.
You could never stump them. There was always an explanation because I would just push like a kid. Why? And there was always a beautiful answer. And that really, I'm so blessed that I had that experience.
Rich answer, I meant, not your name.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Rich and beautiful, full, logical answer. Because I'm the same thing. I needed to understand in my head before I could accept it in my heart.
Yep.
And I just found St. Charles is just a gift to me to get me through all those questions so that I feel that I can, you know, I do a lot of, I don't know, a lot of my ministry, but some part of my ministry at St. Andrew's is towards atheists, where family members will bring me their atheist to have a conversation with them. We'll have a lunch.
But I think it's beautiful also, even at work, he has met a number of people who normally would never even talked about faith, but just knowing that he was a deacon, somehow that came out. All of a sudden, they used him as, you know, using you as someone that they could get knowledge from.
Sure,
and hopefully, they're asking with their head, but you pray that then their heart is open.
Right.
And God only just needs a little crack in the heart for him to get in, and then that roller coaster ride starts for them. So you've seen a lot of good things happen, even in your work environment, where you have to question, you know, that is a really good place for you to be, that you can
I know, get and I've, people. I've prayed, you know, Lord, can I do my church ministry full time? And then he reminds me, you are. You're just doing half of it in the church and half of it in the office.
Right.
But anyway, St. Charles has been a beautiful gift, and, and I'm glad that you went there, because I'm telling you, as someone, as an advisor on the radio station, it's reassuring to have someone like yourself with such a sound educational and theological basis.
Right.
Because there's lots of decisions we have to make in operating the station. And, you know, some of them are just, you know, regular decisions, but always with the intent of how do we bring the word of God to more and more people? How do we open people's hearts? Like Janet was open, learned her faith from this radio station.
Thank God.
And we're just one
radio,
of tens of thousands that we hear about in this community. Right. So having your background, I think, is going to help us to make good, sound, you know, regular decisions, but
and
that are aiming us in the right direction, because you know what it's all about.
Right. Well, actually, that's, you know, when you guys talk about work, I found that even when I was still working at my secular job, that, yes, first of all, I used to say, well, I have class tonight. Oh, really? St. Charles. Wow. Well, for what? Theology. And that was sort of a whole conversation.
Yep.
But it's been fascinating the last several years, both in my secular job and then when I worked at the Kingsman here, is integrating sort of my management body of knowledge with the theology, because they're very compatible.
They are.
On the surface, you think, well, there's sort of business over here,
right,
and there's theology over here. But no, it's all about the human person.
Yep. And it should be that way, yes.
It's all about treating people with dignity. Yep. It's all about helping the team, whoever the team is, flourish. And that's all completely, it all ties together.
Yeah,
it's not in conflict.
Right. And I learned that, too. You know, as I came in, I got hooked up with a group of people called Legatus, which is an organization for Catholic business leaders. And I always thought, you know, and as I was becoming Catholic more deeper, I was like, how can I be Catholic in the workplace? Because I viewed them as such separate and distinct things. And as you point out, they're not. They're one. You are one person. You're not two persons. You're not one person at work and another person at home.
Right.
It's one person. And so are all the people that work with you, and so are all your customers.
And doesn't it make life so much easier just being one person?
right.
And just knowing what truth is and being honest and treating people the way God wants us to, with love and understanding, compassion.
That's the funny thing. My business prospers because we treat
people
with dignity and respect. And our customers know that, and our employees know that.
And the honesty level, too, is huge.
It just bears fruit all the time. So,
right.
You're right. They're not incompatible at all, and you're bringing that to bear here.
Right. And unfortunately, that's the message I think a lot of people hear in our society. Mm-hmm. Not to pick on other media, but, you know, in the secular world, whether it's movies or secular radio and TV, there's this false battle between sort of faith and reason, or my professional life and my
separation,
faith life.
Yes.
And it's really schizophrenic, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a great point, Rich. We're one person. We're not two people or three people. We're not like we're all one person at home and one person at work and one person at church.
Right.
We're integrated. We're one person, and we have to tie that all together. And what's great about it is God's the source. It's all one truth,
right.
And so there isn't really a conflict. And so we need to get that message out.
Yeah. It's and that's the purpose of the station. And speaking of the station, let's remind everybody you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. The show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet. And our guest today is the station manager, the new station manager of Holy Spirit Radio, Chuck Harvey. Been with us about a month or so. So we're just getting to know Chuck a little bit more, first his background and his faith journey. Now let's talk a little bit, you know, sort of, so you've come in here, you've been here like a month or whatever, and so tell us a little bit about, you know, what you've seen here so far, and what, you know, any ideas you have for how we can make this even a better source of the truth of God.
Right. Well, first of all, this might sound like cliche, but it's awesome. I'm like a kid in a candy shop. And it's funny because when Dale first approached me about this, of doing this, it's like I hadn't thought about it at all. I really thought I was heading in a different direction. But now I got here, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
I
mean, just spend a minute. How did you get,
when did you first hear about Holy Spirit? Dale tricked me.
How did you get into this?
Well, you know, I had been hosting the Kingsman show, so I was up here, you know, on a monthly basis. So I met Dale and Jane from being up here.
Okay. And what was your first experience here? Do you remember what year it was?
It would have been, well, it just would have been 2014, I guess. 2014, okay, good. I came up and started doing the show. Yeah, in fact, the first time I was on the show was with Alan Zelno, and it was great. I had a great time because, you know, he tricked me too. Alan Zelno said, hey, come up and why don't you just see how I do the show. And then he says, why don't you come in the studio? And I said, oh, what are you talking about today? You're going to be, I'm going to interview you.
He might have known you well to do it that way.
That's right. So, so what actually happened was back in May, it was around the time, you know, right after Kathy had passed away and at her funeral, I had talked to Dale, but hey, you know, because I wasn't working at that time, I was between things, because I was pursuing a career in teaching, so I thought I wouldn't work full time again until the fall. I said, hey, you know, if you need help, I can come by, because I'm a little technical, I can, you know, turn a screwdriver or something. So Dale gave me a call and asked me to come up, because he did want to talk about, you know, kind of what was my background, and he did need some help around the station. So I came up here, and, you know, one thing led to another, and it became clear he really wanted to see if I wanted to do something, you know, even broader than just, you know, help around with the technology. And, you know, I was resistant in my mind, at least. I was probably resistant in my words, but... Because I had been convinced myself that, I want to teach, and that means I have to be a teacher. And so this was Pentecost weekend. So, of course, it's Holy Spirit Radio. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Holy Spirit came up about every 20 minutes, whether it was the divine office or during the Pentecost Mass. I actually go into the deacon, the transitional deacon ordination on that Saturday at St. Charles.
Okay.
And I ran into a few people, and I won't embarrass them, but, like, you know, they're like, oh, that would be perfect for you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, that's perfect for you. And I even emailed a woman who used to be my boss, who's always very clear and logical and will never get emotional about what I should do career-wise, because she really knows me.
Okay.
She says, oh, that would be perfect for you. Do it. I told my wife, I didn't want that. I wanted her to reinforce my idea. No, that doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
Right.
So so basically, over that whole weekend, I just had all kinds of confirmations that this made sense. And once I got here, it did make sense, because it just in terms of my interest around, you know, my being creative, being able to teach through radio, being able to really...
You really enjoy teaching, right?
Yeah,
this is the way to do that.
The mission of the station is to catechize and through radio. And so it made sense, because so the whole idea of being able to put together good content,
right.
Just like our motto says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but offering hope, hopeful education.
And I just want to say, you know, Dale doesn't do things lightly. He is a very prayerful man.
I know.
So for him to present this to you, believe me, he took great thought, and it had to be on his heart to do this through prayer. So you got to listen to Dale, because he knows what he's doing.
I think it was last week. I stopped in the hall. I said, Dale, how did you know this? How did you know that I would love this so much? It's God, you know.
Like, yeah, yeah, he's, he's the one.
Very, you know, he's so willing to let the Holy Spirit move him.
Yes.
Right.
You
know,
yes.
He's not one to, you know, we got to do this.
Right.
Let me
like the church.
Yeah.
You know, right. The church where, you know, they take their time before they make decisions, but they are very open and prayerful, and they allow the Holy Spirit to do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a real gift we have with Dale and Jane. You both have tremendous gifts for us in the station. Okay, so that's how you got in.
Yeah.
So just tell everybody first, for those of you who may not be familiar, what are your duties here as a station manager?
As general manager, I'm responsible.
General manager.
Well, I'm responsible for really kind of running the operations here. So it's everything from making sure that we're actually standing in front of our transmitter sitting in front of our transmitter, making sure our transmitter keeps running and doesn't go off the air. And
lights blink.
Yeah, if the lights blink, do something. So it's everything from the sort of engineering and IT part of it that goes into keeping a station on the air and keeping it maintained, all the way to the programming content and trying to figure out what kind of programs we want to have and what kind of shows we want to put on the air. It's also getting involved in really doing outreach to the community, you know, to really promote the station and promote the message of the gospel through radio and get out there and make sure that we have a good relationship with our listeners and that we're listening to our listeners in terms of what kind of things they want to hear. So it's a whole gamut of things. And so for me, in terms of my background, I tell people, well, it's great. It's got technology, it's got management, and it's got theology. It's all in one job.
All things you love.
Right. And somehow it all fits together. That's and of course I'm discovering each day kind of what my role is as I learn what does it take to run a radio station? What does it take to put programs out in the air? And
Well, it gives you an appreciation. I go back to Dale and Jane for the decision they made back in 1999. To buy a radio station.
When they had no knowledge of anything. Yeah.
You know, anything to do with technology or radio. And just felt that the Holy Spirit was moving them to do that.
Yep.
Their yes allows so many people to say their yeses.
Right.
Yep.
And we would not be here without this station.
I always tell Rich we'd be in the gutter somewhere without them.
Yeah, this and that's one of the reasons we, you know, give our time back to the station.
Beautiful.
Because we owe our lives. We owe our souls to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I meant the spiritual gutter. I know you would still have a roof over our head.
That's right. But, you know, it's been an amazing gift to the community.
Absolutely. And they've done a great job. And it was great programming on here. And I actually run into people. I ran into somebody at a restaurant one time. I actually had my I'm a lay Dominican. I have my Dominican cross on. And she asked me about that. And I said, and so what do you do? I said, I work for Holy Spirit Radio. I love Holy Spirit Radio. I listen all the time. So, you know, there's definitely people out there listening. And it's definitely has an impact on the community.
It does. And then we get letters all the time from people in the community. And their lives have been changed. Their families' lives have been changed. I particularly enjoy getting the letters from our internet listeners all over the world.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get people from
Singapore,
the Philippines,
even. Yeah.
Singapore, UK, of
England,
course.
England, yeah.
Australia.
We got a prayer request today from Sweden.
Sweden.
Yep.
Okay.
God bless them.
Yep.
And just, that's one of the great blessings of technology. I mean, technology is a neutral, right? It can do wonderful things. It can do terrible things.
Right.
But, you know, when it's used for this purpose, it has such tremendous gifts.
And that's one of the things we really want to try to promote because you know, a lot of people who sort of maybe are technically savvy have figured that out.
Yes.
But we want to really promote the idea that with technology today, you can listen to us on the web. You can listen to us on your smartphone.
On your phone.
You can take us to the beach.
So
we want to really promote that, you know, just tuning in to 1570 and 1420 isn't the only way you can listen to us.
Right.
And you can take us all over the world, literally.
Right. And I do. I mean, I use TuneIn Radio when be over in India. I travel to India and you can hear you guys over there. It's wonderful. But you're right. And we're appealing to a new generation. I mean, this is my business, you know, digital transformation, helping companies engage the millennials using the technology of the day.
You
know, because the millennials, are much more comfortable with technology, number one, even prefer it rather than interacting directly with a person. They prefer it. So how do we attract them? How do we nourish them? How do we draw them in? Using technology.
Right. And that's another area where we're going to be heading in that direction. And in fact, there was a great article, it was in the Inquirer 2 weeks ago, about how millennials are tuning out of AM and FM radio.
Of course.
And just to your point. So, you know, one of the things we want to do is be able to move to actual podcasting. And so that, because younger people are used to, like, I want to go listen to something on demand. I don't want to have to, like, I got to wait till 10 o'clock on a Tuesday to listen to something. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of great shows.
Hey, that's my show.
They can't wait for you. They want to be able to get it on demand.
So
that's another area we're going to look into is to start to podcast our shows and be able to provide content out there that people can subscribe to us and get that pushed out to their phone so they can hear all our shows, you know, whenever they want.
Speaking of shows, I was driving Tuesday afternoon around 4 o'clock. And I hear your voice with a guest speaking on theology of the body, one of my favorite topics. So I couldn't listen long, and when I went home, tried to look it up, couldn't find it, because we have all of our local programs archived.
We just launched a brand new show. It's so brand new. It's so brand new, it's not on our website yet. So yeah, so earlier this week, we launched a new show called Culture of Life.
Culture of Life.
And the whole show is going to be is focusing on the Catholic Church's beautiful vision for the sanctity of life, from conception to natural death. And we're going to tackle all the issues. Of course, the big issues like abortion and euthanasia. But, things like capital punishment and things, all the end of life issues. Between conception and natural death.
We're pro-life all the way through.
Right. Because the Church has wonderful things to say, and it's important that we understand the complete teaching of the Church on what it means to be pro-life and to respect the dignity of the human person.
So I'm excited.
We hope to have lots of guests to cover all those areas. And so it'll be on again actually next week,
Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
And then we'll find the regular schedule. We'll get it out on our website.
Is it repeated? This will be
a repeat of this week's show. And then we have to still figure out when the encore time will be.
I just got a little glimpse of it because I was in between running errands. But I have to say, I was intrigued and I wanted to listen.
So next week, Tuesday, it's Bill Dunahy of the Theology of the Body Institute. We had a great talk about the theology of the body and how relevant it is to our society.
And such a
healing teaching. If people really could hear it, they would really understand what marriage and love is all about,
really
what life is all about.
I think that was one of the things I came to, looking at the Catholic Church from the outside, there wasn't necessarily a correlation, at least I didn't see a correlation between why we're against abortion, but we're against capital punishment and we're against euthanasia. I didn't see the consistency. I looked at each issue individually and could have a rational opinion of one versus the other, but not necessarily tie them together.
Right.
And it wasn't until I really learned about theology of the body and all the pro-life ideas that it's really, as we say, a seamless garment of faith.
Right.
They're all related. It's all a single concept.
Right.
That says all life is created by God and precious and really only given and taken by God.
And so many people
have this misconception that the Church looks down on sex, where truly the Church raises it up to such a beautiful dignity, because the marital act is truly you entering into what you and your spouse did when you made your marital vows to each other. So every time you come together as husband and wife, you are really recommitting your vows in a very physical and real way with each other. I remember saying that to my girlfriend, and she just started to cry. And she said, I never knew that.
Right.
Because it really does bring that beautiful expression between the two of you to a whole nother level. And you can understand why that is a precious gift that you're giving to each other and why it should be within the marital confines of a marriage, a covenant marriage.
And I think that's what the Church, we learned in our classes, and you came to the seminary with me, because it's not because the Church looks down on sex. It's elevated sex to being a co-creative act with God. I always say sometimes you're procreating. You're creating with the pro here.
Right.
But
right.
It's so beautiful. It's so important that it's reserved for, a lifelong commitment. And, I don't think people always see that. They don't see that.
They didn't even know that to begin with.
They didn't know that. Yeah, I guess I lost my train of thought there. Yeah. But they didn't know that how that the Church views it so highly. So I sometimes liken it to fire. So fire, when used properly, can heat your home, cook your food, power your car. Used improperly, it can burn you and kill you.
And
it's the same with sex. Sex is beautiful. It's a gift from God. When used properly, the way He's designed it, it's incredible.
Magnificent.
And binds you together in a special way for life. But when used improperly, it we see so much pain, physical pain, emotional pain, conflict that comes from that misunderstanding of that.
Right, and that's the message of hope we want to try to get across here at Holy Spirit Radio. Right, the hope comes from a high view of the human person. The technical term for it is we have a high anthropology. That's true. We have a high anthropology. Right. What does that mean? We want the best for human beings. We think the human being can flourish and do great things. It's not a matter of we don't like the human being or we want people to be miserable. No, we want them to be full of joy. And so we have a very high aspiration, very high ideal of what God wants us to be. And so that, and if you have that high aspiration and you understand that, all these other things make a little more sense.
Yeah, we used to, at least my, again, outside the church, atheist view of the Catholic Church, you know, church is just, you know, an angry old man with a bunch of rules trying to stop you from having fun or whatever. You just rules, right? And as I came in, I really learned that, you know, it's our mother. And sometimes when you're a little kid, your mother made you eat broccoli and you didn't like broccoli, but
in your case, liver.
You know, liver, yeah. I eat a lot of liver. And, you know, at the time, you could be angry at your mom and say, oh, why is she making me do this? I don't understand. It's a silly rule. But, it, you know, when you, at the perspective of an adult,
but
you
as
can
you
see.
Grow, yes.
Of course, she loved you very much. And she was doing this because she wanted you to grow and to be the fullness of a person in this world. And that's what our Catholic Church, our mother, does for us. She has rules not to stop us from, you know, from living, but to help us live more fully and to keep us on the narrow path, keep us growing closer with a goal of getting us to heaven. And once I realized that, you know, I my whole view on the church is.
And no decision is ever made just, oh, well, today we'll do it this way and tomorrow we'll do it that way. The church really has a well thought out process of why they have all, let's say, certain regulations or different things that we are obliged to follow.
And that's why it takes the church so long to make a decision on something.
Right. I mean,
anything less than 100 years for the Catholic Church is a rush. Right? It's a rush job. So, it, you know, because it really needs to reflect and decide this is really the what God is calling to. It's not change it one day one, and we're not talking about liturgy. Liturgy
can change,
and people think that the church changed things when they changed the went to the
few
vernacular
words or whatever,
flipped the altar around. Those are just, you know, ways to draw people closer. But we're not changing the fundamentals of our faith, and we never have, and we never will.
Right.
And but it takes a time for the church to really respond, it's doing so now. I think we see. You know, again, as a business guy, you can relate to this statement. I always say the Catholic Church has a great message, a great product, but lousy marketing.
Right.
And we haven't always done a good job of explaining ourselves. And this radio station and your presence here is really helping to rectify that.
I think you know who helps us explain ourselves better when we have the Protestants converting to Catholicism.
Right.
Because they know how to promote.
Well,
and we've had a number of really good ones. I'm thinking of Scott Honoff and others who really have come into the faith and really do help us in that regard.
Yeah, and that's really the power of this station and your
Right, warrior. And a big part of the way we want to do that is there's just so many great stories going on here in the diocese, right? Mm-hmm. We want to really be Philadelphia's Catholic radio station.
Yeah.
We want to tell the story. There's so many great ministries. There's so many great apostolates that are right within our own borders. We have a great bishop. He's got a great
awesome.
Message. And so we want to really have everyone, when they tune in the Holy Spirit, they really understand they're listening to the church at Philadelphia, right? They're listening to
truth,
communicating truth, and they're hearing all the great things that are going on in all different parts of the diocese, because there is wonderful ministries going on. There's a lot of people on fire, and we got to get their stories out and get them on the radio.
Amen, brother. Well, it's so glad to have you here. We're so delighted that you're part of the station, and you're going to be part of the station, because we need... It's not something you
change
overnight.
And you're doing
it
full time. I think that's really what we're all going to benefit by, because there's so many people here involved at Holy Spirit Radio that give the time that they can. So we're each like little segments. But he's going to be here full time. So you're going to be like the cohesive to really to get what we give and really put it in its proper place and fill in all those gaps and build us up. And I'm excited.
Yeah, and give poor Dale and Jane a rest.
Well, I don't know if they'll ever rest because their heart is here.
They've
but,
been so tirelessly.
But I'm sure you'll be a big help to them, big support.
Dale and Jane have done a marvelous job here, and I'm so glad that you're here because, as you said, there's more to do. We've taken it so far.
To the next level.
We've got to take it to the next level.
And they've really taken me under their wing, and Dale's really been mentoring me and showing me around and how it all works. And. You know, he's a great teacher, so it's been great. It's been great working under him for the last 4 weeks. Aww. I've learned a lot in a short amount of time. And
so tell me, you know, we have a few minutes left before we got, because that clock's a little fast. Tell me a few of the ideas that you have for things that might be, you know, coming in the future.
Right. Well, I think basically what we're going to try to do is focus on more local programming.
Okay.
We have a lot of great shows like this one and, you know, the Kingsmen, all the other shows.
Sure.
But we want to try to get out there and be out and about in the diocese more, and cover a lot more of what's going on. So you'll see more local programming.
Oh, good.
We want to work with the diocese more in providing live coverage of events. Like this Sunday,
yes,
we're going to be covering the Fortnight for Freedom Mass live. Excellent. It'll be 6:30 Sunday night from the cathedral. Excellent. You know, we covered the priest ordination Mass.
Yes.
And so we want to get out there and be at a lot more events, covering things live as best we can. And also, I think you're going to see us really getting out there and pushing all the different ways you can listen to us with technology. So really helping and make it easy for people to get our signal. If they can't get us on the AM radio, get us on their smartphones, and just really make it simple for people so that we get our message out there and try to get people to spread the word, help their friends, get us on the internet, and so that you know, there's lots of people listening.
You know, I want to ask, how is your wife viewing all of this? Is this huge change in you over these years, and now for you to be the you know, the station manager here at Holy Spirit Radio?
You're getting in trouble,
Janet. What is she thinking?
Well, you know, I used to tell her when she used to make me go to Mass, I used to tell her, you know, if I ever believe this stuff, I'm going to be very hard to live with. So every time.
Love it.
So I always remind her of that. So, no, I think she's pretty excited because I think she sees now how I come home like a kid who just went to a toy store. You know, I do really enjoy this, and that certainly translates into my demeanor when I come home. So, sure. No, she's excited, you know. She gets
see
to tell people,
when she
oh, my husband works at a radio station.
Right. Yeah, back in Penn.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's
so
terrific.
Yeah, so,
and your kids, I mean, I'm sure they're seeing a whole other side of you as well.
Yes, yes.
In their adult years.
In their, yes.
Yeah, so what are their ages now?
Chris is 25. Well, he'll be 25 in July, okay. And my daughter's 22.
22.
She just graduated from Penn State.
So they're off the payroll?
They're,
almost.
The older one's completely off the payroll. The younger one is
she's getting
off
there.
The payroll.
She's getting there.
That's right.
Good. That's
a big step.
That's getting a big raise, right?
That's right.
Finishing up with those college tuitions and everything.
Well, God bless them. Sounds like a beautiful family.
Yeah,
and
they're
wonderful. So happy to have you here. So welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to many good things here. I think the Philadelphia area is a very live, excited diocese. I mean, I go to other places in the country, but Philadelphia's got something special here, and the chance to take this radio station to that community is a real honor and privilege here.
Yeah.
And I know Archbishop Chaput is a big fan of both of EWTN and of this station, and so we look forward to seeing how you can bring us closer to all of them in this community. So with that, we have about a minute left. Let me end with maybe a prayer for everybody. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Chuck Harvey as he enters his ministry here with Holy Spirit Radio. We ask you to guide him and direct him and open his heart to hear your word so that he can take this beautiful ministry that's been built by Dale and Jane and take it to the next level, and so that it reaches even more people, opens more hearts, touches more lives, turns them closer to you, and be embraced by your loving arms. And together let's say it in Our Father. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I want to remind, but hopefully next month we're going to have a special guest. We're still working on it, but hopefully the daughter of St. Gianna, Gianna Emanuel Mola, will be coming to this country in July, and we hope to have her on the radio station. She's also going to be on EWTN and Catholic Answers, so we're very much looking forward. She's got a wonderful story, and she's raising money for a beautiful ministry shrine back home.
All
take
right.
care, everybody. God bless,
God
and
bless.
Enjoy your summer. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.
Step away from everyday life for a day of rest and renewal at the Catholic Women's Conference on Saturday, October 29th at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. The day's theme is Mother of Mercy, Make Our Hearts Like Yours. The conference features 9 dynamic speakers discussing the feminine genius and a woman's mission to live mercy in her family, the church, and the world. This special event includes something for every woman, married, single, and consecrated, featuring talks in English, Spanish, American Sign Language, and a youth track for teen girls. Experience the tender mercy of God in Mass, confession, and adoration. Explore the peaceful grounds of the shrine, connect with other Catholic women, and browse over 20 exhibits tailored for women. The conference on October 29th is hosted by Endow and the Archdiocese.